Chapter 2. I was chaste, that he loved not the me then living, but that past woman still. Well, such was my jealousy at last, I destroyed that face of the former me. Could you ever have dreamed the heart of woman would work so foolishly? Heredity, I am the family face. Flesh perishes, I live on, projecting trait and trace through time to times anon, and leaping from place to place over oblivion. The years aired feature that can and curve, and voice and I despise the human span of durance that is I, the eternal thing in man, that heeds no call to die. You were the sort that men forget, you were the sort that men forget, though I not yet, perhaps not ever. Your slighted weakness adds to the strength of my regret. You'd not the art you never had for good, or bad to make men see how sweet your meaning, which, visible, had charmed them glad. You would, by words in a let fall, offend them all, even if they saw your warm devotion would hold your life's blood at their call. You lacked the eye, to understand those friends offhand whose mode was crude, though whose dim purport outpriced the courtesies of the bland. I am now the only being who remembers you it may be. What a waste, that nature grudged soul so dear the artist too. She, I, and they, I was sitting, she was knitting, and the portraits of our four folk hung around, when there struck on us a sigh, H, what is that? Said I. Was it not you? Said she. Sigh did sound. I had not breathed it, nor the night wind heaved it, and how it came to us, we could not guess. And we looked up at each face framed, and glazed there in its place, still hearkening, but thenceforth was silentness. Half in dreaming, and its meaning, said we, must be surely this, that they repine, that we should be the last of stocks once unsurpassed, and unable to keep up their sturdy line. 1916. Near Lanovet, 1872. There was a stunted handpost just on the crest, only a few feet high. She was tired, and we stopped in the twilight time for a rest, at the crossways close thereby. She leant back, being so weary, against its stem, and laid her arms on its own, each open palm stretched out to each end of them, her sad face sideways thrown. Her white-clothed form at this dim-lit cease of day made her look as one crucified in my gaze at her from the midst of the moldy way, and hurriedly, Aunt, I cried. I do not think she heard. Loosing thence she said, as she stepped forth ready to go, I am rested now. Something strange came into my head. I wish I had not lent so. And wordless we moved onward down from the hill in the west clouds murked obscure, and looking back we could see the handpost still in the solitude of the moor. It struck her too, I thought, for as if afraid she heavily breathed as we trailed, till she said, I did not think how 'twould look in the shade, when I leant there like one nailed. Aye, lightly. Here's nothing in it. For you, anyhow. I know there is not, said she. Yet I wonder. If no one is bodily crucified now, in spirit one may be. And we dragged on and on, while we seemed to see in the running of time's far glass her crucified, as he had wondered, if she might be someday. Alas, alas. Joys of memory, when the spring comes round, and a certain day looks out from the broom by the eastern copse trees and says, remember, I begin again, as if it were new, a day of like date I once lived through, whiling it hour by hour away, so shall I do till my December, when spring comes round. I take my holiday then, and my rest away from the dun life here about me, old hours re-greeting with the quiet sense, that bring they must such throbs as at first. Till I house with dust, and in the numbness my heart some zest for things that were, be past repeating when spring comes round. To the moon, hat have you looked at, moon, in your time, now long past your prime? Oh, I have looked at, often looked at sweet, sublime, sore things, shudderful, night, and noon in my time. Hat have you mused on, moon, in your day, so aloof, so far away? Oh, I have mused on, often mused on growth, decay, nations alive, dead, mad, a swoon, in my day. Ave you much wondered, moon, on your rounds, self-wrapped, beyond earth's bounds? Yea, I have wondered, often wondered at the sounds reaching me of the human tune on my rounds. How do you think of it, moon, as you go? Is life much, or no? Oh, I think of it, often think of it as a show God ought surely to shut up soon, as I go. Copying architecture in an old minster wimbern. How smartly the quarters of the hour march by, that the jack o' clock never forgets. Ding dong. And before I have traced a cuss I, or got the true twist of the OG over, a double ding dong ricochets. Just so did he clang here before I came, and so will he clang when I'm gone through the minster's cavernous hollows the same tale of ours never more to be will he deliver to the speechless midnight and dawn. I grow to conceive it a call to ghosts, whose mold lies below and around. Yes, the next home, come, draws them out from their posts, and they gather, and one shade appears, and another, as the eve damps creep from the ground. See a curtain a stands by his quadrifoiled tomb, and a duke and his duchess near, and one Sir Edmund in columned gloom, and a Saxon king by the presbytery chamber, and shapes unknown in the rear. Maybe they have met for a peril on some plan to better ail-stricken mankind. I catch their cheepings, though thinner than the overhead creak of a passenger's pinion when leaving land behind. Or perhaps they speak to the yet unborn, and caution them not to come to a world so ancient and trouble-torn, a foiled intense, vain loving kindness, and ardors chilled and numb. They waste to fog as I stir and stand, and move from the arched recess, and pick up the drawing that slipped from my hand, and feel for the pencil I dropped in the cranny in a moment's forgetfulness. To Shakespeare after 300 years, bright baffling soul, least capturable of themes, thou, who displitst a life of commonplace, leaving no intimate word or personal trace of high design outside the artistry of thy pen dreams, still shalt remain at heart unread eternally. Through human orbits thy discourse today, despite thy formal pilgrimage, throbs on in harmonies that cow oblivion, and, like the wind, with all uncared effect, maintain a sway not for desired, in tracks unchosen and unchecked. And yet, at thy last breath, with mindless note the burrow clocks, but samely tongue the hour, the Avon just as always glassed the tower, thy age was published on thy passing bell, but in due wrote with other dwellers deaths accorded a like knell. And at the stroke some townsmen met, maybe, and thereon queried by some squire's good dame driving in shopward, may have given thy name, with, yes, a worthy man and well-to-do, though, as for me, I knew him, but by just a neighbor's nod, 'tis true. Apostrophe faith, few knew him much here, save by word, he having elsewhere led his busier life, though to be sure he left with us his wife. H. One of the tradesman's sons, I now recall. Witty, I've heard. We did not know him. Well, good day. Death comes to all. So, like a strange bright bird we sometimes find to mingle with the barn door brood awhile, then vanish from their homely domicile into man's PC, we wot not whence, flew thy strange mind, lodged there a radiant guest, and sped forever thence. 1916. Quid hic agis? Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.